So thank you for attending Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today we'll be speaking from Canto 10, Chapter 2, Text 13. Please repeat after me. Garbha Sankhashanat Tambhai Prahu Sankarshanam Bhuvi Rameti Loka Ramanad Balabhadram Balochtrayet Garbha Sankarshanat Tambhai Prahu Sankarshanam Bhuvi Rameti Loka Ramanad Balabhadram Balochtrayat Garbha Sankarshanat Tambhai Prahu Sankarshanam Bhuvi Rameti Loka Ramanad Balabhadram Balochtrayat Garbha Sankarshanat Tambhai Prahu Sankarshanam Bhuvi Rama Iti Loka Ramanad Balabhadram Balochtrayat Garbha Sankarshanat Tambhai Prahu Sankarshanam Bhuvi Lomiti Loka Ramanad Balabhadram Balochtrayat Garbha Sankarshanaptam Vai Prahu Sankarshanam Bhuvi Rameti Loka Ramanad Balabhadram Balochtrayat Garbham Sankarshanat Tarvai Prahu Sankarshanam Bhuvi Rameti Loka Ramanad Balabhadram Balochtrayat Matajis. Garbha Sankarshanat Tambhai Prahu Sankarshanam Bhuvi Rameti Loka Ramanad Balabhadram Balarochayat Garbha Sankarshanat Tambhai Prahu Sankarshanam Bhuvi Rameti Loka Ramanad Balabhadram Balarochayat. Okay, word meanings. Please repeat after me. Garbha Sankarshanat. Because he will be taken from the womb of Devaki to that of Rohini. Tam, him, Rohini Nandan, the son of Rohini. Vai, indeed, Prahu, people will call Sankarshanam by the name Sankarshanam. Bhuvi, in the world, Rama Iti, he will also be called Rama. Loka Ramanat, because of his special mercy and enabling people in general to become devotees. Balabhadram, he will also be called Balabhadra. Balauchtrayat, because of extensive bodily strength. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The son of Rohini will be celebrated as Sankarshan, because of being sent from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. He will be called Rama because of his ability to please all the inhabitants of Gokul, and he will be known as Balabhadra because of his extensive physical strength. Please repeat after me. The son of Rohini will also be celebrated as Sankarshan because of being sent from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. He will be called Rama because of his ability to please all the inhabitants of Gokula, and he will be known as Balabhadra because of his extensive physical strength. Purport. These are some of the reasons why Balaram is known as Sankarshan, Balaram, or sometimes Ram. In the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, people sometimes object when Ram is accepted as Balaram. But although devotees of Lord Ram may object, they should know that there is no difference between Balaram and Lord Ram. Here Srimad Bhagavatam clearly states that Balaram is also known as Rama, Rameti. Therefore, it is not artificial for us to speak of Lord Balaram as Lord Ram. Jayadeva Goswami also speaks of three Ramas, Parashuram, Raghupati Ram, and Balaram. All of them are Ramas. Om Agyanthimirandhasya Granjana Shlakaya Chakshudunmanitam Minatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupakada Mayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gudun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Saganarangada Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagan Nalalata Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Dadhe Brindavaneshwari Brishabhanu Site Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatidu Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patidanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidvaita Garadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'd like to begin by reading a quote from the Nectar of Devotion. It says, this is describing the cowherd boys, also known as Vyasyas. There is the following prayer by a devotee for the Vyasyas in Vrindavan. All glories to Krishna's Vyasyas, who are just like Krishna in their age, qualities, pastimes, dress, and beauty. They are accustomed to playing on their flutes made of palm leaves. And they all have buffalo horn bugles, ornamented like Krishna's with jewels, such as the Indranila, and with gold and coral. They are always jubilant like Krishna. May these glorious companions of Krishna always protect us. So before speaking about Balaram, let's just envision these beautiful cowherd boys. They have, it's beautiful, they have these flutes made of palm leaves. You can imagine that they've wrapped them into, you know, very tight little flutes and they play them. And also, they all carry a buffalo horn. That's like, you know, a very special thing. All you'll find, all of them have, perhaps tied around their waist. And there are jewels, beautiful jewels along these buffalo horns. And they use them to blow, to call the cows, right? And it says they're always jubilant like Krishna. So these young boys, they're very playful. You've seen young boys running around playing tag and stuff like that. Especially these cowherd boys, you know, they're always running and jumping and dancing. And they're very happy. So the pastimes of Krishna and his cowherd friends are filled with joy and happiness and fun and laughter. And then continuing, it describes Lord Balaram here because he's one of these cowherd boys. One devotee described the personal beauty of Baladev as follows. Let me take shelter of the lotus feet of Balaram, whose beauty is enhanced by the earrings touching his cheeks. His face is decorated with tilak made from kasturi, musk, and his broad chest is decorated with a garland of gunja, small conch shells. His complexion is as white as the autumn cloud. He wears garments of blue color, and his voice is very grave. His arms are very long, touching his thighs, and he has shown his great strength by killing the Pralamba demon. Let me take shelter of this chivalrous Balaram. So Balaram is extremely beautiful. As we see here, he has specific clothing that he wears. In fact, many times, whenever Lord Balaram is described, it compares him to the beautiful white full moon. He's very, white. His skin is white. And his clothing is a beautiful blue, often described like the flash of lightning. So if you picture Lord Balaramji, you can imagine the beautiful, cooling, sweet rays of the moon rising above, a dark, blue, lightning-filled cloud. Right? So, as it mentions here, he's very, very chivalrous. There's a very fascinating little pastime mentioned in the Nectar Devotion. So he is considered, he's a well-wisher of Krishna. He's an elder brother. So he takes care of his younger brother. Anybody here have an older brother that you grew up with? So that older brother, he's always thinking, if anyone messes with you, you tell me. Right? The older brother is always in this mood. If somebody tries to mess with my little brother, he better know that, I'm going to find him in an alleyway or something, right? So Balaram's the same way. That's how he feels towards Krishna. Nobody better mess with Krishna. In the Nectar Devotion, it mentions that one time the cowherd boys, I think they saw like a storm or some clouds kind of rising on top of Govardhan Hill, and they immediately, they begin to think it's Aristasura. It's a powerful demon coming up over the mountain, ready to attack Krishna. And so different cowherd boys grabbed weapons, And Balaram, he pulled out his plow, right? And it mentions there that the reason he carries this plow everywhere is because he's always thinking, I'm going to protect Krishna, right? If anyone messes with him, I've got my plow right here. Yeah? So this is Balaram's mood, and it mentions here this chivalrous Balaram. He destroyed the Pralambasura demon. So this story of Pralambasura is very beautiful. Prabhupada begins in the Krishna book by describing how the heat of summer is so intense in Vrindavan. You can imagine everything becomes dry and cracking and parched, and it's a very difficult time. But Vrindavan is always very sweet. In fact, over the Jamuna is blowing this beautiful cooling breeze that's scented with flowers. Oftentimes, when it describes the breezes of Vrindavan, they're scented with particular flowers, depending on the type of year. Yeah? And so, Krishna and Balarama describes that at this age, they hadn't yet had their hair cut. So they had sort of like wild hair, these cowherd boys running around with long hair, uncut. It describes it looks like a cluster of crow's feathers, right? And so Pralambasura, all these demons, they try to sneak into Krishna's pastimes. We see Vatsasura came as a calf, Aristasura came as a bull. And now here Pralambasura, who Prabhupada describes as the most powerful demon. They're dispatched so easily we forget how powerful they are. But Pralambasura was incredibly powerful. And he took the form of a cowherd boy. He's going to try to sneak into Krishna's pastimes. And so at that time, the boys were getting ready to play a game of dueling. They're fighting with each other. And they broke up into two teams, Krishna's team and Balaram's team. And so Pralambasura, he went on Krishna's team, and Krishna's team lost. And the bet was, whoever's team loses, you have to carry the winning team on your shoulders, right? Like a horse, like giddy up, smack in the behind and everything, right? So running around like this, you have to basically ride on them, And so Balaram was victorious, and his team won. So Pralambasura had to carry Balaram. And the amazing thing is, Pralambasura could actually see Krishna and recognize this Krishna is super powerful. He actually came in there with the intention of kidnapping both of them. But when he saw Krishna, he decided, I'm just going to take Balaram and run with him. I'm just going to get away from Krishna and steal Balaram. And he did. He ran into the forest. And, all the coward boys were left behind. And Balaram is thinking, what's going on here, right? And immediately he began to make himself way heavy, right? Balaram is the original expansion of Krishna. In fact, it describes he's the servitor Godhead. He's the foremost assistant of the Supreme Lord. And he's actually the origin, he's Mahasankarshan, he's the origin of all the Chaturvyuha, all the Vishnu expansions. They're just expansions of Balaram. And Balaram's the original expansion of Krishna. And so when this, you know, Lord of Lords is on his shoulders, Palambasura could feel it. And he immediately assumed this monstrous form. In fact, this form was so huge, it lifted Balaram up into the sky. You can imagine all the trees and everything far below Balaram. And the demon had these massive fangs came out, this golden helmet and earrings. It was a very horrific and fearful creature. And Balaram, it describes just with one punch, yeah? He says, I'm going to dispatch this demon. With one punch, he hit him so hard, the Bhagavatam describes it cracked his skull. You know, he just shattered his skull with one punch. And then Prabhupada, in a couple places, mentions that the demon, he collapsed like a snake who's had its head crushed in. Right? Now, those of us in Los Angeles, we don't have much experience with snakes. But I'm sure if you were raised in rural India, you would know that when these snakes come around, like a cobra, you know, you take a stick and you smash its head. You know, that's how you kill it. You don't smash the tail, right? You just whack the head until it's dead. So that's what happened to Palambasura. Balaram whacked his head like a snake. Yeah? And then Prabhupada mentions when he fell to the ground, blood started just pouring out of his mouth everywhere. And then the cowherd boys, they ran and they caught up because it made a huge sound like a mountain. In fact, it's described like Indra threw his thunderbolt. Right? And it smashes the peak of a mountain and causes it to collapse. So similarly, Palambasura collapsed into the dust of Vrindavan. And all the cowherd boys came running up and they were saying, Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu! Because they could see that he had killed and performed this wonderful pastime. And in this way, and you can imagine, you know, Balaram ji is surrounded by all the cowherd boys are dancing and chanting, you know, Haribol! And then immediately the demigods begin to shower flowers from heaven. Right? So it's a beautiful picture. Balaram there celebrating with the cowherd boys and flower petals just raining down all around him. Yeah? Now, Prabhupada says here in this purport a very interesting philosophical point, which is essentially that the names of Krishna, or that basically, sometimes people may argue that when we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, right? Who are we speaking about? Is Rama, does that refer to Lord Ramachandra? Does it refer to Balaram, right? And so, and even devotees have had questions about this. In fact, this is from a letter to Arundhati in 1969. Regarding your question, what does Ram mean in Hare Ram? Is this Balaram or Lord Ramachandra? You can take it both ways, because there is no difference between Ramachandra and Balaram. Generally, it means Krishna, because Ram means enjoyer. So either Ramachandra, Balaram, or Krishna are all Vishnu tattvas and are always enjoying. The Shakti tattva or Jiva tattva is always enjoyed. Our position is always predominated. So Prabhupada's saying here that they're the same personality. Right? These don't think of them as two different individuals. That's actually, Prabhupada later mentions, that's a sort of neophyte misconception that the Supreme Person of Godhead in these different forms are different people. Rather, they are all one person. So the name can be applied to any of them appropriately. And particularly, Prabhupada says here, generally it means Krishna. So that's very interesting, that you could even take the name Rama in the Maha Mantra to refer to Krishna. And Prabhupada says generally, right, which sort of establishes a precedent there. Also in another letter, Prabhupada says, in this connection, actually no, this is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada mentions this in a purport. In this connection, we may mention an incident that took place between two of our sannyasis while we were preaching the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in Hyderabad. One of them stated, Hare Ram refers to Sri Balaram, and the other protested. Hare Ram means Lord Ram. Ultimately, the controversy came to me, and I gave the decision that if someone says that the Ram in Hare Ram is Lord Ramachandra, and someone else says that the Ram in Hare Ram is Sri Balaram, both are correct, because there is no difference between Sri Balaram and Lord Ram. Here in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find that Krishnadas Kaviraj has stated the same conclusion. यही रूप जाने से ताहे काहे सकल संभवे कृष्ण किच्छु मिथ्य नाहे. If someone calls Lord Ramachandra by the vibration Hare Ram, understanding it to mean O Lord Ram, Ramachandra, he is quite right. Similarly, if one says that Hare Ram means O Sri Balaram, he is also right. Those who are aware of Vishnu Tattva do not fight over all of these details. Okay? So there was a small controversy in Hyderabad. Two sannyasis were arguing. No, it means Ramachandra. No, it means Balaram. And so Prabhupada, he gave his final conclusion that it means both and that you shouldn't consider them separate. There's also another quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is very beautiful. It's Lord Chaitanya speaking. Eka ishvara bhaktara dhyana anurupa eka I vigrahe kare nanakara rupa. There's no difference between the transcendental forms of the Lord. Different forms are manifested due to different attachments of different devotees. Actually, the Lord is one, but he appears in different forms just to satisfy his devotees. So let's just think about that for a little bit. That Krishna is one, and these different forms, you know, why does Krishna take these different forms? In order to satisfy his different devotees. He's basically interacting with the bhakti of the various individuals, and therefore he performs particular pastimes and takes particular forms. You see? So just think about that. So what is this beautiful form that we've described of Balaramji as a cowherd boy, and the beautiful form of Lord Ramachandra with his arrows and his quiver, right? Surrounded by Sita and Hanuman, Lakshman. The difference is that the Lord is actually participating in rasa with various devotees. He's reciprocating with their personal bhakti, and therefore he's operating in a certain mood. No? So, now Prabhupada also mentions here in the word for word, which is very fascinating, that, you know, we know that Sankarshan means he's drawn to the womb of Rohini. But here it says Rama. He's given the name Rama, and Prabhupada says here, Loka Ramanat, because of his special mercy and enabling people in general to become devotees. Right? So Rama means that he's attracting people and he's giving the special mercy by which people can actually become devotees. And we'll see this principle is mentioned in regards to Balaram being, they might say the spiritual master being an expansion of Lord Balaram. Yeah? And then also, as it says here, Balabhadram means that because of his excessive bodily strength. So the name Balaram is really a combination of the sense of strength and the sense of power and mercy that is Balaram. Yeah? That's his mood in which he's interacting with devotees. You see? So one more quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says, in the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The word Ram refers to Balaram. Since Lord Nityananda is Balaram, Ram also refers to Lord Nityananda. Thus, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram addresses not only Krishna and Balaram, but Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda as well. So not only, so this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the Krishna and Ram also refers to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. As we see here. And Prabhupada says here, this is in a lecture given in Bhuvaneshwar, Balaram means Guru Tattva. Balaram represents Guru. Yasya Prasada, Bhagavat Prasada. If we want to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we want to understand Krishna, then we must take shelter of Balaram. Nayam Atma Bala Hinena Labhya. This Bala Hinena Labhya, this Vedic injunction means, without the mercy of Balaram, you cannot understand. You cannot realize your spiritual identification. So that Balaram comes as Nityananda Prabhu. Balaram Hoila Nitai. Therefore we must take shelter of Balaram. So Balaram expands himself in his age of Kali as Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda, his mood is to give this spiritual strength, right? And to give us the power to realize our own true spiritual nature as eternal servants of Krishna. So that's what he's doing. We should pray to Lord Nityananda for this power of self-realization. And of course, the spiritual master is an expansion of this. So by serving the spiritual master, meditating upon the spiritual master, doing puja, such as we do Guru Puja to Srila Prabhupada just now, this actually, by the grace of Guru, This gives us that spiritual power, that Balaram, right? Which actually allows us to transcend our own wicked materialistic conditioning that we've acquired, that we're saturated with in this age of Kali. Yeah? In other words, I don't want to be sort of hellfire and brimstone. I'll kind of pass over that. But if we really look at our own conditioning, look at the desperate condition that we're in, right? Look how we're helpless. Look how, without the mercy of Krishna, we have no spiritual strength whatsoever, right? That there is nothing actually within us that has any power to move beyond, you know, this base Kali Yuga existence. And we're fully dependent, 100%, on this Balaram, on this strength coming from the Supreme Lord, this mercy which elevates us and attracts us to Him in devotional service. Right? So we have to see that. We have to see our own desperate condition, and we have to beg Lord Balaram. In fact, Nectar of Devotion also defines lalyam, or greed, as Prabhupada mentions there, that one must be willing to cry for Krishna. That is the cost of attaining bhakti, essentially. You have to cry to Krishna, not just some fake tears, but you have to actually cry with utter desperation, total dependence, right? With every ounce of your being, crying so hard that you're not holding anything back. Like from the foundation of your very self, you're desperately taking shelter of Krishna and begging Krishna with everything, with mind, body, words, with all of your emotions. And just crying out to Him, realizing your helpless desperation. And Lord Balaram, when He hears those prayers, He gives you the spiritual strength needed to advance in devotional service. Right? So, speaking of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, being manifestations of Krishna and Balaram, there's a beautiful pastime where what happened is one day in Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya sat in the corridor of a Vishnu temple, right? And he began calling Varuni, right? He began calling Madhuana, bring me honey, bring me honey, right? So, you know, we have a corridor of the temple right here, so you can see, you know, maybe later today you can try that and see what happens. But when Lord Chaitanya did it, immediately Lord Nityananda understood his mood. He understood his transcendental rasa, that he was taking on this mood of Balaram. And so Lord Nityananda went and grabbed some water in a pot from the Ganges, right? Some Ganga Jal. And he brought it to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya drank it and became ecstatic. And then, of course, kirtan began, and all the devotees were performing kirtan with Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and they had a vision of the Yamuna Karshan Leela, which means when Lord Balaram brought the Yamuna to him, right? And so this is actually a very beautiful pastime. Just as with Pralambasura, Vrindavan was burning hot and yet cooled by these beautiful breezes of the Yamuna. So similarly, when Krishna had visited Vrindavan after he was staying there for 2 months, and he was essentially pacifying the residents of Vrindavan who were feeling tremendous separation from Krishna. And at that time, he began to have pastimes in the evening with his gopis. And so while there, at the bank of the Yamuna, it describes this beautiful moon was rising and these beautiful breezes. In fact, the breezes were carrying the scent of the flower Kamudini. Yeah? And so it was an extremely sweet and transcendentally romantic mood. And Lord Balaram was surrounded by these gopis. And so Varuna, the demigod, seeing that it was the perfect time, he asked his daughter Varuni to go to that spot. And she took the form of this liquid honey, as described. It's a very intoxicating sort of beverage. And so Lord Balaram and the gopis, they began to drink this. And it appeared as if they were intoxicated. Lord Balaram's eyes began to roll in his head. Yes? They were partying, right? So they were having a wonderful time. And then, you know, Lord Balaram decided it would be a perfect time to go swimming. But, you know, why should he go walk to the Ganges, right? Or the Yamuna? So he demanded that the Yamuna, you know, you come here now, right? And she didn't do it. She stayed there and she refused to move. And so Balaram became angry and he took up his plow and he demanded that the Yamuna, if you don't come here, if you don't come to me, I'm going to drag you to me. Right? I'm going to make a big trench, you know, all the way to where I'm going and you know, force you to come here. And furthermore, I'm going to smash you, or I'm going to smash the river and cause it to fracture into many small streams. And so she immediately became afraid and came before him, offering beautiful prayers and paying obeisances. And Lord Balaram forgave her. Right, he forgave her. And then all of the gopis and Balaram, they bathed and swam and played in the Yamuna. And then, you know, feeling perfectly satisfied, Lord Balaram came out of the Yamuna, was dressed very beautifully in beautiful forest flower garlands. And so in this way, they had an amazing pastime. So while the associates of Lord Chaitanya were seeing this, they're dancing in kirtan. I mean, we have some very nice kirtans, right? Especially Bhrigu Padiprabhu leads. He's a very forceful, very powerful. There's a lot of strength and enthusiasm, like a very vigorous, you know, offering of love. Yeah, it's very sweet. So when Lord Chaitanya's associates would sing in kirtan like this, they were all so advanced that the power of the holy name and Shuddhanam, they would actually see a vision before them, like they would transform into the pastimes of Vrindavan. And so they saw this beautiful Yamuna and Karshan Leela. And not only that, but it mentions specifically, we know, you know, this is the Chaitanya Charitamrita is brought down, you know, through the different Goswamis, etc. And to Krishnadas Kaviraj, these bits of information are very authentic, that Advaitacharya specifically saw Lord Chaitanya with a plow, a golden plow. And I think his name is Vanamaliacharya, saw that he was also carrying a plow, right? Actually, Advaitacharya saw him as Lord Balaram. And so when the devotees were experiencing this beautiful kirtan, they danced and chanted for 12 hours straight. Can you imagine? I mean, our kirtan lasts half an hour, and we're kind of like, okay, you know. But that's for 12 hours straight, they danced and chanted. And then you can imagine, you know, towards the evening time, they made their way to the Ganga, and they all bathed there, and then went home. So this is our tradition. This is the gift given to us by Srila Prabhupada, the spiritual master, the manifestation of Lord Balaram. And if we take advantage of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, of this process of Krishna consciousness, then we ourselves will develop that spiritual strength. We'll receive the mercy of Balaram and the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And then we can chant in ecstasy, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions? Okay. Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you, Prabhu, for such a very nice class. Maybe you described this, but I was just wondering. So we understand that Krishna is, or the different expansions of Krishna are non-different from him, but at the same time we should, I'm just kind of thinking, like, how could we differentiate between, like, seeing the different expansions as personalities different from Krishna, but at the same time the same, kind of like, you know, like, a how does that differ from, like, a Mayavadi mentality or something?
Okay, it's not Mayavad at all, because they are the same person. The example given for when there's a beautiful story, well, a kind of humorous story, where there was I believe Prabhupada tells the story, where there was he was like an Indian ambassador, and he was during the British Empire, and he went and visited the Prime Minister, whose name was Daniel Gladstone, yeah? And so it was a big deal, because at this time, this individual is sort of the representative of the Queen of England, the most powerful nation on earth, or empire on earth, and so he was very afraid, somewhat nervous, sitting in front of the office of Daniel Gladstone, and he was made to wait, right, for some time. And so he's wondering, geez, you know, there must be some very intense meeting going on there with some very high important people, and I wonder who's in there, I wonder what's going on. And so he opened the door and peeked, and there he saw the most powerful man in the world at the time, Daniel Gladstone, was on his hands and knees, just like the Coward Boys, right? And his grandson was on his back, smacking him and going, yah, yah, you know, like a horse, right? And so this is illustrating the nature of Krishna, that he has various relationships with various devotees. And as we quoted here earlier, that these different manifestations of Krishna are in response to, right? These various moods of devotion. So in this Daniel Gladstone, no one else can do that. If the Indian ambassador had decided, you know, excuse me, can I take a turn? You know, and he asked the child to get off and he jumped on his back, it wouldn't work, right? He doesn't have the same relationship. So that's a very intimate relationship. Yeah? Whereas when Daniel Gladstone is dealing with the people in general, with the ambassadors, with the heads of state, then he has a very much much more formal mood and he's interacted with differently. So similarly, when Krishna is in, when Vishnu is just Krishna in the mood of the king, the lord and master of Vaikuntha, and he's interacting with people as he would a king. When Krishna is in Vrindavan with his peacock feather and his flute and his turban, etc., then he's at home, just like the man with his grandchild. Yeah. So really, there's no difference. It's just you're interacting with him differently depending on your relationship. So that's not Mayavad, because Krishna is Krishna. You know, I mean, if we try to become Krishna, or we try to be one with Krishna in every way, then we're Mayavad. But if Krishna tries to become one with Krishna, that's fine. You know, he's already, that's just reality. Okay. Well, he raised his hand first.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Mm-hmm. Prabhu, these pastimes that we hear about, Sakya Ras, are mainly from Bhagavatam. But we, like, the writings of the Goswamis, whatever that I've heard, is Madhurya Ras. Do they like disclose any pastimes of Sakya Ras? It's like for the coward boys, you know. It's like.
I'm sorry. Could you kind of clarify the question?
Well, the pastime that we know of Krishna, aside from Bhagavatam, mm-hmm. comes from the six Goswamis, right? Their books, as far as I have heard, I've heard only the pastimes relating Madhurya Ras.
Mm-hmm.
Do they disclose any pastimes about other rasas, specifically Sakya?
I'm not sure. I've never read the books of the Goswamis, you know, like these sort of. So I don't know exactly what kind of pastimes they reveal or discuss. Does anybody know? Okay. There's just one more question. Sorry. Kali Santarana Upanishad? Yeah, the Kali Santarana Upanishad, it gives the Maha Mantra, but I think it's the other way. It mentions Hari Ram first. But the way that our Sampradaya and Lord Chaitanya has given it to us is the Hare Krishna first. So I'm not exactly sure if there's some specific, any more details of that. Does anyone know? No, but I know that, yeah, the way it comes to us through Lord Chaitanya is chanted with the Hare Krishna first. our real identity is our relationship. Our eternal relationship is an eternal servant of Krishna, and so that servitorship or that takes the form of the various rasas, right? Like you have the five rasas, five primary rasas, I think seven secondary rasas, right? So the living entity is essentially, you know, what you're asking, is it that, like, you are, in a sense, somehow your identity is that rasa, or... Okay. Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I think that's all the time we have. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Mm-hmm.